I'm Nicolette Thomas, and this is my podcast, Watching with Friends. Every week, we watch and discuss a show or movie, and I invite a friend or two to join in. Today, Sarah and I will be discussing the 2004 Disney Channel original movie, Pixel Perfect. Roscoe is trying to help his best friend Samantha and her band, the Zeta Bytes. They're struggling despite her vocal talents and guitar skills. Sam is told she needs to dance in order for the band to succeed. Roscoe uses his father's holographic equipment to create a sentient human hologram named Loretta to dance for the band. At their first gig at a school dance, Loretta is a big hit with the audience. The entire band loves her, except for Sam, who's jealous of Loretta's perfection and suspects Roscoe likes Loretta more than her. Despite her feelings, Sam agrees to take care of Loretta to keep Roscoe's dad from finding out and deleting her. With Loretta in the band, the Zeta Bytes manage to land a gig at a club that had previously turned them away. Their second performance goes well, until the very end when Loretta starts to lose her pattern and the crowd realizes she's a hologram. After a moment of silence, the crowd erupts in applause. The novelty of a holographic rock star catapults the Zeta Bytes to fame. Sam becomes jealous of the attention Loretta is receiving, while Loretta struggles with her identity as a hologram. She wants to experience life as a real human being in a physical body. After a major argument with Roscoe, Loretta escapes into the internet and emails herself to Sam's computer. Roscoe becomes frantic and realizes he may have feelings for Loretta. When Roscoe tracks down Loretta, Sam kisses him and argues that she is real, not Loretta. Roscoe and his father attend a meeting with Harshtone Records, the company that is recording the Zeta Bytes' first CD. Harshtone informs Roscoe that they have decided to team up with Skygraph, his father's company, and make more holographic rock stars. But when Roscoe realizes that they are planning to rob the holograms of their individuality, he argues that Loretta is not just a program, but a person with thoughts and real emotions. Despite Roscoe's father siding with him, Loretta is taken from them. At the last moment, Daryl Phibbs, an employee at Harshtone, has a change of heart and decides that every performer, including holograms like Loretta, should have a choice. He gives her the option to stay at Harshtone or escape into the web. Loretta goes into the internet a second time, and Phibbs quits Harshtone. Unfortunately, the Zeta Bytes cannot find Loretta before their next concert. Sam tries to replace Loretta on stage, but falls, slipping into a coma. When Loretta comes back out of the web and sees that Sam is unconscious, she enters Sam's brain through an EKG machine in an effort to help her. She arrives in Sam's mind, finding Sam caught in her own depression. Loretta shows Sam that she hates that everyone thinks she is perfect and that she envies Sam's ability to learn. This helps Sam wake from her coma. They discover that there is only enough room for one of them in Sam's brain at a time, and as an act of kindness, Sam lets Loretta borrow her body to experience the world. In a real body for the first time, Loretta goes outside in the rain. As a lightning strike hits Sam when she wakes up, it appears Loretta is gone forever. At the Zeta Bytes' final performance, Sam sings about Loretta's death, and she and Roscoe are finally together. After Sam finishes singing, the band realizes there was an extra voice singing in the harmony. Roscoe sees Loretta's ghostly figure in the spotlight, and he comments that the Zeta Bytes have a guardian angel. After this quick break, we will be back with Sarah to discuss the movie.
No!
right. So Pixel Perfect.
Oh, Pixel Perfect.
See, I really enjoy this one. It's like such a contrast that a year made between this one was first and then now you see it. Just how different they were. Oh, yeah. Because this one had so much going on and it was so tight.
Mm-hmm.
I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was cute too. I thought it was like a cute way to do this show. Not that
it deals think with of another way to interesting concepts.
Yeah.
So besides the fact that girl likes boy, boy likes girl, but boy is distracted by other things, like that's an interesting storyline as it is. Like if that had just been the entire movie, and they have done DComs that were just that. But this, they add in what actually constitutes what is living, what has a conscience, what has all of this stuff going for it, and thus has the right to free will.
Yeah.
In a children's movie.
I know. I'm telling you, Disney is far above anything. We were talking about that at work today, how Disney himself was such a genius that I know he's obviously been dead for like hundreds and hundreds of years since this has come out, but just the people who work at Disney and everything, and the people who create these movies are so far like ahead of their time, and they're so like thinking outside the box that it's unbelievable. For the most part, I mean, some of them you watch, you're like, "Huh?"
Let's really, now that we've kind of talked overall, kind of the big concept things. What did you think of this movie? Because, like we just said, it really was very ahead of its time in dealing with certain issues. Because we're in this time where, guess what? Holographic pop stars are now a thing. There is a reality show on TV right now about holographic
I was just gonna say they literally just started that show. I'm telling you, Disney can see the future, just saying.
And it's one of those things where you watch it and then you watch what's happening on TV now, and we're getting to a point they can create fake voices the exact way that Roscoe does it for Loretta.
Yep.
They create holograms. There is a concert tour that's about to start, or it's going to be in Vegas, that is going to be a holographic Whitney Houston.
Really? I haven't heard of that one, but that'd be cool.
But, and it's just like, we are getting to this point. This movie came out almost 20 years ago now. And all of the technology, everything is going towards this. And it just, it fascinates me. We have computer programs that will study a bunch of movie scripts and kind of how movie scripts, like the different story beats, and are coming up with things that are original for the most part. And we're just getting to that point, and it just freaks me out.
Yeah, it's just, it goes back to jumping to another movie that's in these DComs, Smart House. Look at what they came up with, Smart House. That came out in the early 2000s, I think right around this time too. But again, it's about an all automated house, which is basically what we have now. You can literally turn your lights on just by saying, "Hey Alexa, turn on my lights," or, you know, it's just so, like, I don't know how Disney does it. I really think they just predict the future and come up with it. But it's just amazing that, like, in 2004 they came up with this movie about a hologram who can sing and dance and do all this. And now we're literally, like you said, watching a show about it. Like, there's a show about you being a hologram and celebrities having to figure out who you are. But still, it's all, like, the science is there. It is. And like, at the time, obviously, because it was 2004 and none of this has progressed, you just thought of it as like a haha funny movie, like, oh yeah, you know, you could be a hologram, and the only other thing you've seen a hologram in would be like Star Trek or something like that, and Star Wars. So it was kind of like not an actual thing. So when I was watching it when I was 14, it was just kind of like, oh yeah, this is cute, but it really couldn't happen. And now, so many years later, look at it, we're living in the age. Oh god, soon we're gonna be able to say beam me up, Scotty, and go to a spaceship and
Elon crazy. Musk had his way, we would be on Mars already.
Yeah. But on the flip side too, I also like how this one too? That's like, I took notes on my computer. I'm just kind of going through them again. This one too, like Smart House also shows the downside of technology too, about how like, I think the hologram's name is Loretta.
Yes.
So she also, like, everybody says, oh, robots can't have feelings. All these artificial intelligence can't have feelings. Well, in this movie, it shows how
they learn.
Artificial intelligence, and they learn and grow, which is also, too, going back to, like, Alexa and all these Google, hey, Alexa, hey, Siri. Yes, they won't have feelings, but they're learning in a lot of the programs on computers and phone. Like my phone can literally, like, has been almost upgrading itself as it goes off to like what I search, how I search, what I look at more, when I usually turn on my alarm to get up in the morning, you know, when this happens. And in this movie, the hologram Loretta kind of does the same thing. She learns, she grows, she joins, gets feelings. And I think she ends up liking Roscoe. No.
Yeah. I know. They kind of hint towards it. They do hint that he likes her because she is the perfect person that he had created.
But it goes into,
did you ever see the Joaquin Phoenix movie, Her?
Yeah, that one creeped me.
Kind of in the same thing where.
Yeah, the same thing, how AI grows and learns. And it's true, like you form a relationship to these, a bond to these, like Siri and all these artificial intelligence, even though they're not real, but like, you know, you also grow as they are a person, but. But yeah, no, I like that how it goes through how, like, yes, even though Loretta's still a hologram, she learns about her group and learns about the real world and Sam, and then like her and Roscoe kind of have a thing. Yeah, so that, like, just how it grows, it's pretty cool.
Let's kind of stay on Loretta while we're still talking about the hologram and things, because we are, and that's kind of what I think is terrifying, is there could be a time where some artificial being of some sort that we create, like, because there's people who want to like put chips in our brains and shit like that, like computers. So you just think a thought and it goes up onto the web or whatever. But
Well, even now, look at like when you like search something on your computer, and yeah, it stays in your in your web search, but like you go on your social media accounts and then you start getting like ads for that thing you just searched and you're just like, huh?
Yeah.
It's like
at my old job, we actually did an experiment with that with toilet seats.
Interesting.
We started just talking about toilet seats around our phones and every single one of us got advertisements for toilet seats.
Yeah. See, it's like, and not necessarily, it's just like everything is, they say Big Brother's watching, but it's true. Like everything. Like the other day I turned on, like we had just talked about doing this show and I turned on TV and like an advertisement, like things you might like on my TV popped up and it was Pixel Perfect. And I'm like, oh, hold up. And like, I hadn't even put it into my, on my TV and started watching it or anything. It just showed up and I'm like, okay.
But
and this movie also has one of my favorite old boyfriends from Phil of the Future, Ravi Bowman. I
just to, fi- just to finish up on Loretta, because the fact that she takes over Sam's body and the parents are like, what the fuck, where's our child? Like, did this artificial intelligence just kill our child and take over her body? That is kind of where science is heading and it terrifies me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that one always bothered me because, again, it's like that's eventually what this world's going to become, like technology is going to come to, is literally we're going to have artificial intelligence getting into our head, or like or they're going to plant a chip in our head and like that's how they're going to, you know our every thought.
Okay, enough with conspiracy theories. Let's get back to one of your childhood boyfriends.
He was in Phil of the Future, which is another show about the future. But anyway, that's see, I always thought all the movies and shows that he was in, whether it was Phil of the Future or Pixel Perfect, I think he was in another Disney Channel movie.
But yeah, so Ricky Ullman, he was a big Disney name back in the day.
Yep. And he always played like, he always played like, he was always really good in the roles he played. Like, I thought he was great in Phil of the Future. I thought he was great in Pixel Perfect too. And not just cause like, not just cause I liked him. I just thought like for Disney and, like casting wise, he was always a really good young teen type cast, and he was a pretty good actor for the most part.
And then finally, I want to bring up, and this is kind of where the movie loses me, because your three main characters are all pretty white people. The two other members of the band are your only minority representation besides the music producer guy. So those are your only three people of color, and I thought about it from that standpoint and I'm like, oh, they were just trying to tick off the box to say, hey, this movie is inclusive. And I don't know, like that always bugged me.
But I find that too, that not necessarily all Disney movies, but a lot of Disney movies, you find it that way, where there's not a huge racial diversity. And there's only like a couple of characters, like, just to kind of like tick the box. Like, I feel like that's in a lot of these older Disney movies. There are some that are more like jump in and all that, but I feel like there's some, movies that are more like that with the DCOMs and stuff, the earlier stuff, where it's just like, you know, you get one or two other characters than, you know, a whole all white cast, just so you can be like, yep, that clears.
And I mean, you see more diversity moving forward because you got bigger names like Corbin Bleu became a huge name for Disney Channel. Zendaya became a huge name for Disney Channel. China. Oh God, why can't I think of her name?
Oh yeah,
the chick who plays Uma, because she was on Ant Farm, and she was a big name for Disney Channel.
Yeah, it's China something. I can't think of her name.
So you have them, and really all you had was Brenda Song representing the Asian community.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think there's anyone right now that I can think of that was also Asian in leading roles.
No, I don't think so.
So it's like still a problem, and maybe because I don't watch Disney Channel now, like it's just like my exploration of the DCOMs, but I'm starting to notice that there wasn't a lot of representation. When there was, it was just to click the boxes. Because even if you look at Daryl, who is the music producer, and they talk about him, he's working for rich white guys. He's always worked for rich white guys. His start was in gangster rap. So they're still putting kind of these racial stereotypes on this character. And like a lot of people do start their music career in one way and end up changing. But I don't know, like something just rubbed me the wrong way about that as well.
Yeah, I feel the same way. But also too, again, not that it's right, not that you're, but like I've noticed that I think that's just the way, like even though in the 2000s we were very much, you would find more diversity in I say normal TV shows and movies as opposed to like just Disney, but Nickelodeon was the same way too. It wasn't as bad, but I just think because I don't know if it was that it was just harder to find younger diverse cast, or it was just that, you know, it was just how they did things. But I mean, again, I don't watch Disney Channel anymore either, so it's kind of hard to like, is it just because of the time, or is it just because of just how it was? So I don't know, but Nickelodeon was the same way, going back looking at, like, I mean, look at, it's Disney, but look at Hannah Montana.
Exactly.
I think they had what, like one kid, and I think he kind of did the Mexican angle for it. So but like That's So Raven had a lot of diversity, so it's kind of, so I don't know if it was just how the movies were, and maybe there wasn't enough diversity for young casting wise. So I don't know, I haven't compared it, to Disney now.
I just happened to notice that in this one, that there was, oh, we need African-American people, we need an Asian-American person. And they just kind of click the boxes with these two minor characters.
Yeah. So just so they, like you said, just so they could have a check mark as opposed to actually have them in the character.
Exactly. So then my final... go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, which... I mean, on the other hand, too, they do stuff like that, but then they do movies like The Color of Friendship and Jump In, and it kind of makes you think about it. Are they just doing those movies to have them as a, you know, just because we don't have a huge diverse cast for in our shows, we're just going to throw these movies into the mix, or what that's about? Or is it too just the way they've casted things, which again doesn't make it right, but we don't know what Disney's thinking at that point was.
Exactly. And then my final gripe about this movie, because overall I think this is a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot stand the fact that the voice dubbing for the singing is so mature in comparison to the actresses that are supposedly singing.
Yes, I noticed that too, and I was like, maybe it was just me, but I'm glad you noticed it too, that it's not just me.
Like, I'm sorry, those voices sound like they are like late 20s. They do not sound like they're supposed to be 16-year-olds.
Yeah, you're like, okay. I don't know how to... It's like you don't know how to not handle it, but like it's one of those things where it's like you look at it and you're like, sure, let's go with it.
But I do really like the songs. I think those are great songs. That's really all I had to say. Do you have anything to add?
No, I mean, I feel the same way. I think we got everything pretty good.
So then, what is your final rating for Pixel Perfect?
I think I'm going to give it, I think I'll give it a 6.
All right. Yeah, we were thinking the same thing. I am actually going to go with a 7.
Oh, okay.
Because the music, besides the dubbing being awful, I would listen to any of those songs. I would happily put them on like my car jams playlist. I remember really wanting to wear all of those costumes.
I know the costumes
back in the day. Like I remember I had those stripy pants that Sam wears when she finds out that Roscoe used part of her to create Loretta. I saw the pants and I was like, I had those.
Yeah.
Like, so I do like that. I like the main casting. I think that besides my issue with, was it just diversity casting for diversity's sake? I think the casting was all pretty good.
Okay.
Like, I liked Sam. I liked Loretta. I liked Roscoe. And I did like those two actresses who played those supporting characters. I thought they had great chemistry. Have some issues overall, just with questions that I have, but looking at it as it is without kind of digging too deep, I'm really happy with it. The story is great. It's intriguing to me. So I have to give it a 7. Hey.
All right, so that was our really fun discussion on Pixel Perfect. I had so much fun. I have been jamming out to the Zetabytes ever since we recorded. Yeah. So if you want to join in the conversation, please feel free to email us. You can find us at watchingwfriendspod@gmail.com. Let us know your opinions on things. And next week we will be discussing Jump In, which I am so excited for. I can't wait. So, with that being said, I hope you all have a great week and we'll talk to you next time. Bye. Hey, no, 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 no.